April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Hello, it is the Go Birds Podcast presented by the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook at Elliott Shore Parks. James Seltzer yet again, waking up early Monday morning to come in, see the Eagles are too good right now for us to do it over the phone.
Well, so it's funny. Yesterday I'm driving, doing the terrible drive back from FedEx Field. Literally such a dump, and we can get into that in a little bit. But I'm driving and I'm thinking like, what's the worst thing, like, with this team right now? Not even trying to be a pessimist, but I'm just like, there has to be something that, like, they're not good at. And I think that when I remember back to the first three games of the Eagles' 2022 season, the thing I'm going to remember most is the world trying to screw us with bad audio.
Yeah,
in post-game
I was
going to
say, I think the thing I remember the most is this buzzing sound in the background in this room that we're in right now. And if you can hear it, I'm so sorry. I don't know if someone's drilling downstairs.
Yeah, someone's drilling downstairs, it sounds like. So, actually, Kristen always makes fun of me because I called the drill one time an electric screwdriver.
Yep, sounds about right.
And so, like, she always makes fun of me for that. But, yeah, so you figured Detroit week one, they were having, like, the loudest shouting contest ever at the stadium. Monday worked out fine.
Yes.
But this, yeah, is unfortunate.
But you know what? Who cares? The Eagles are awesome, man. The Eagles are awesome.
It's unbelievable, man.
The Eagles just roll.
It's unbelievable.
The Eagles just go out and whoop teams' asses and then are like, you know what? We're bored.
They don't play well in the second half.
Because they get bored. They're so much better than these teams they're facing. I mean, Elliott Shore Parks, you know, like all I wanted for my birthday was an Eagles win. I wanted for my birthday was an Eagles win. And I get an Eagles win where Carson Wentz gets sacked nine times where
unbelievable.
They beat the Earmuffs, 1, 2, 3. They beat the shit out of Carson Wentz yesterday. What a day, Elliot.
I'll never be able to figure out what is earmuff worthy and what is not. Like, for some reason, yeah. But anyway, so, dude, I mean, I was kidding about, like, the driving home and trying to figure that thing out, but, like, I'm actually not. I mean, I don't know what this team's weakness is. Like, I was thinking, I don't know, if you're an opposing defensive coordinator, how do you game plan for this team? Because with the way, so I actually thought Hurts had, and no one jump on me, but like I thought he had his worst game of the season. He still finished with over 300 yards, three touchdowns.
Okay,
so
I literally have in my notes. By the way, new face ID with my new phone.
That.
Look at this guy over here.
Yeah,
joining the rest of the world. How about
no
it?
No button
by
anymore.
By the time I turn 41, I'm with the rest of the world. I wrote, Jalen didn't even play that good out of the gate, and somehow had 277 and three touchdowns in the first half.
Dude, his accuracy.
He didn't even play that good. And he had 277, three touchdowns in the first half.
His accuracy early on was not that great, which is in the first, and it stood out even more because the first 2 weeks it's been so special. But like, Yeah, he still finishes with 340 yards, three touchdowns, 22 of 35. Like, I would have thought that his completion percentage would have been lower, just like the eye test of watching the game. Passer rating of 123.5.
Sure.
He almost doubled up Carson. Sure. Like, you know, it's a little bit of a push, but Carson finished at 70. So, yeah, I mean, I thought, and I guess we can, when we were driving in, I was saying there's so much you could start with. But, like, if we want to start with Jalen, which seems the third most important topic from today.
I think the real starting point is this team is really, really good.
I think that is the starting
point. That's the starting point, is they are, like, legit good. Like, I was one of the highest in the media in Philly in terms of, like, coming into the season. I had them at 12-5, and I undersold them.
Yeah.
They are better than like, anything can happen. We know it's a long season, injuries, tons of stuff. But, like, right now, they look like the best team in the NFC. They look like one of the best teams in football. They look like a real deal, true blue Super Bowl contender, Elliot. Like, this is like, fun start. Like, this looks real. They're beating the crap out of teams, man.
And, I mean, think about this. The Jaguars, who they play next week, just went into San Diego, just went into Los Angeles, right? The Chargers, who, by the way, like,
frauds.
Biggest frauds.
Frauds!
Honestly, it's like Chris Ballard and the Chargers are the two biggest frauds. And Dan Campbell, but I didn't want to, you know,
every
on
year,
your birthday.
Yeah, every year for the next 15 years, some media people are going to pick the Chargers to win the Super
Bowl. It's unbelievable.
And they're going to go 8-9.
The Jaguars go into Los Angeles, smack the Chargers around, a team that almost everyone would agree is top 10 in the NFL. And the Eagles are 7-point favorites next week against the Jaguars.
And the Jaguars just smacked around the Colts before. Yeah. They won 24-0 and then 38-10. They're coming in here.
When you talk about how many games this team might win, I don't think the question is like what their win total will be, because I think that's easily going to be, I think, worst case scenario, 11. Like, best case scenario, they could legit win 14 games.
They could be the onesie.
Right, like, but like sure. The bigger question is how many games will they play this year where they're not a touchdown favorite? Because you figure they'll be a touchdown favorite in all the NFC East games. You know, if Dak plays, maybe not. But, like, my guess is they'll be at least 4 or 5 point favorites at home. And then we'll see Christmas Eve. But, like, they're going to be heavy favorites versus the Bears. They're going to be heavy favorites versus the Texans. Like, there might only be 4 or 5 games that's left where they're not favored by a touchdown or less.
It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy to think about.
And to your point, like, I know we're speaking kind of, like, in hyperbole right now. But, like, in all seriousness, this team does not have a weakness on the field. They just don't. Like, when you look, the pass rush, obviously 9 sacks is extreme, but yesterday showed that, like, unless you're a quarterback that gets rid of the ball super quickly, you're going to get hit and sacked a bunch of times. Because in the first two games, the pass rush wasn't really there, but the win rate said that they were winning their matchups, and the quarterback was just getting it out quick. If you face
and
a quarterback...
And the Lions O-line, I think, is really good.
And the Lions O-line is really good, for sure. But, like, Carson, and Carson's an extreme example, we'll get into him, but, like, if Carson held onto the ball and was like, well, that's that. Like, he almost got sacked double digit times. So, like I said, on the offensive side of the ball, if you're a defensive coordinator, you're going, okay, last year you could try, like, the Bucs. They just stopped the run and that was it. Like, the Eagles couldn't throw it. Now, I legitimately think if you're an offensive coordinator, you have to hope the Eagles run the ball. Like, I think you go in hoping to stop the pass and just pray that, like, they don't run it well, or, like, Miles fumbles it or something. Like, because their passing offense right now, when you look, like, week one, it was AJ, right? Like, week two was a bit of everybody. Yesterday, it was obviously Devontae. Goddard hasn't even had his breakout game yet. Like, if you take away AJ, Devontae goes plays like a number one. If your cornerback's really good on the outside, Goddard's maybe, you know, top three receiving tight end in the NFL. Like, Pascal might be the number four, you know, the best number four receiver in the NFL. Quez Watkins, you know, in week two had that long touchdown. Yesterday, he's drawing pass interferences over the field. Like, their passing game is insane. And when you talk about how before the year you were higher on them than everybody, and you certainly get credit for that, all I wanted was for them to pass the ball.
You did.
And now I'm sitting here in week three, and I'm like, they have an elite passing game. So it's unbelievable. Like, so in all, like, again, so offensive side of the ball, I don't know how you stop them. Defensive side of the ball, they probably have the best secondary in the NFL. TJ Edwards is playing out of control. And the pass rush is and Kaiser White also playing really well. I honestly think on the defensive side of the ball, if you're opposing offense, you just have to hope they miss tackles. That's it. Because the pass rush wins at the line. If you get it out quickly, you're basically dinking and dunking. And if you're dinking and dunking and you pass and the Eagles tackle well, it's going to be a really hard day on offense. So again, I'm not being hyperbolic. I do not see a weakness on this team.
Yeah. And again, look, it's the first month of the season. I did say I didn't want to like overreact too
I know.
Much.
I was going to say, you're Mr. You know, it's just the preseason.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And, but it's
take
hard.
Take the roller coaster out
it's
of
hard
buddy.
To ignore. Look, it's hard to ignore because it's not like they're just, you know, obviously week one was what it was, but it was also them dominating a football team and letting a team get back in it. Like all three games this season, at a certain point late in the game, you can look up and say, the Eagles are absolutely dominating the team they're playing in. All three games this season. I mean, that's what great teams do, right? Yeah. That's when we knew the 2017 team was great. And they're not 2017 yet again. It's only three games.
Well, hold on.
Competition, we're going to get there.
Okay.
The competition has not been, you know, super intense yet or anything like that. But the thing that you think about with that 2017 team, whether they were playing good teams or not, and there was that stretch where they weren't, like, they were beating the crap out of teams. They were winning like 50-10 and 33-10 and you know, those type of games. And that's the feel with this team. And especially, and they've talked about it, you know, they keep saying, you know, we need to clean up the second half, play better, finish strong. Like, if they actually start finishing strong,
they'll score 50 multiple times this year.
Like, geez, man. Yeah. Like you said, the offense is, there is not a weakness. I mean, we saw yesterday, I mean, the A.J. Brown, Devontae thing, I tweeted this and we've talked about it before, but like, definitively the best Eagles wide receiver tandem of my lifetime. Like, there's no argument. Like,
I think it's
I will
the best
not
ever.
Hear an argument.
It's
I think
the
it
best
too.
Ever. Just in terms of talent?
Just in terms of talent.
Not to mention if you bring in 3 and 4.
Absolutely. But just that. And then think about, like, think about just the strength on the outside. We talk about the trenches, which they are great in, and they've made a priority. But think about, like, you just talked about, maybe the best quarterback trio in football. One of the best wide receiver duos in football. The best wide receiver duo we've ever had here. I mean, the strength on the outside to match the trenches is astounding out there.
Like, it's a perfectly put together team. And,
it's unbelievable.
You know, like, I think maybe we should probably caveat a little bit with, like, it's the first week, it's the first month of the season, it's Monday morning, like, all those things.
Yes.
But, like,
and none of the teams they've played are the best teams in football.
Like, through three games, they are better than the 2017 Eagles. And it's frankly not even
close.
You're
just talking just in terms of results.
No, if you look,
Yeah.
They played better than the 2017 Eagles did through the first three games.
Yeah. Point,
well, the Eagles were 2-1, but they were also that
they
Jake Elliott.
They squeezed by,
they were really
yarder.
Close to being 1-2.
No doubt.
The Kansas City game, if I remember correctly, was never close.
Well, no, it was close, but it never
felt like they were going to win.
It
but
was
I
the
mean,
Isaac Samuel game, remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like, it's, I mean, look, like, they're just better than the 2017 Eagles were through the first three games. Now, I don't know if it doesn't mean they're going to win the Super Bowl, but, like, when you keep going, again, this is what you tried to tell me before the year, and my hesitation was the passing game. But now that I'm in on the passing game, like, you're right. I don't see 4 losses on this schedule. Barring someone getting hurt. Like, but even then, like, so let's say, God forbid, knock on wood, pray it doesn't happen. But let's just say Jalen were to suffer an injury. They're still winning the division.
Probably.
At that point, it's just a matter, like, because, look, Jalen's been special, and I'm not trying to diminish what he's doing, but Gardner's a serviceable. Like, there's no one injury where you can point to and go, like, look, if Mailata went down, that'd be a big blow, but Dillard could go in. I think he's pretty close to playing. Like, Slay would really hurt. Slay might be number one.
Mm-hmm.
But this team is so well put together that, like, they're not one thing away. Like, they're strong all over. They're not reliant on one guy.
Well, that's what the 2017 team was, and we saw it play out as this season went along. I mean, they lost super important positions. We always talk about Foles, and that was massive, but they also lost their left tackle. They lost their middle linebacker. Yeah. You know, they lost important players to that team and powered right through. And next man up, we got, like, all that stuff. And look, this team so far through three games, that is something we do need to mention. They have been incredibly lucky from a health perspective. And look, part of it is going into the season healthy and all that.
Yeah.
But
so much for a slow start with those soft training camps.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, how about it?
Yeah.
They look great from that perspective, but we know an NFL season is a war of attrition. Like, guys will get hurt, things will happen, so they'll have to adjust. But to your point, they certainly look like one of the few teams that is really well positioned to adjust to injuries based on the depth that they have on the roster. And that's something that Howie, like, you know, deserves a ton of
credit
for,
man. And the last
big
picture thing before we get into the specifics of the game. So the Eagles are 3-0. Tonight the Giants will look to go 3-0.
I was going
to
say this too.
But, like,
if not, so right now, even with the Giants playing tonight, the Eagles are one of three undefeated teams in the NFL. It's the Eagles, the Dolphins, and the Giants. That's it.
And look,
that's
like,
it.
And let's be honest here. The Giants are not good. Like,
no,
like,
exactly.
That's when where you look and you go, okay, like, props. But, like, the Eagles are showing legitimate on-the-field reasons they're really good. And the Dolphins are really good,
too. Yeah, Dolphins deserve credit.
They're
beat
legit.
The Bills yesterday. They deserve credit. and I think the Bills should have won that game, but even still, the Dolphins won. They get credit.
So when the Eagles-Dolphins play in the Super Bowl, I think that it obviously has to be billed as the revenge game for the joint loss, right? I mean, is that not like when the Disney movie is made?
Tua versus Hurts secondary.
You can't tell me that when the Disney movie is made about this team, it does not start with me in South Florida handing them a loss at joint practices and then ending with Sirianni making some little comment to me like, so I guess we won that one. And like the music drops and he walks off. Like that's where this is headed.
This is a deep, deep look into Elliot's
psyche. I had a lot of time
psyche.
In the drive yesterday.
Well, also the idea that the movie about the storybook
begins
movie
and
about
ends with me. Yes, yeah, it's a good point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some specifics. We'll get into Jalen in a sec. We've talked a lot of Jalen in the open. Let's give some credit where it's due because we're 13 minutes into the pod. And
I mean,
shout out to the defense.
I'll just
baby.
Say it. Like, what a game plan by Howie Roseman. What a game plan, man.
Howie just what knew what buttons to push, knew what players to put in
there.
Yeah. Look, D line was dominant. D line, like, and again, Washington, the worst offensive line they played, but still, man. I mean, 9 sacks, BG. I mean, I can't tell you how happy it made me.
Yeah.
I mean, an Achilles injury at that age, like, I was like, his career is over. I said that multiple times last year.
Even
I was sure
of it. Even the first 2 weeks,
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable to see it. Him, Sweat, Cox looked great yesterday. Hargraves making plays. I mean, Hassan Reddick's involved, you know, getting things done. Like, they looked awesome, man. And that was the most hopeful, because again, we've talked about it so many times, especially after the first two games. Coming into the season, different story, the Hurts have a lot. But after the first two games, we're like, all right, Hurts legit, offense legit. Like, if they can get a pass rush, this team could be amazing. And now they're getting a pass rush.
Well, and I think, too, it's such a good example of how the players just really dictate how good a coach is in a lot of ways, especially
Nick
on defense.
Nick said it, right?
Yeah.
He said it before the season. He's like, players make us look good.
Yeah. Like, in going into the game, it's like, well, the strategy is going to be to hit Carson early and get him, you know, rattled. And like, well, yeah, that's the strategy versus every quarterback. But like, I think they sacked him 4 times on his first 7 drops.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was very quick.
And Carson, I'm excited to get into him. But like, yeah, he held the ball on too long, but they were getting to him, like, you know.
Yeah,
pretty,
it wasn't all his fault.
Right.
Like, that was one of those games where, you know, I during the game I had my old school, like, I almost felt like I was back in the moment of like making excuses for Carson. Like, how do you expect anyone to do this?
Yeah, I know,
Like, I was back there. I was like, I can see this comfort space. It's not Carson's fault. Like,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not.
Well, I saw a stat yesterday that the two games where Carson's been sacked the most is yesterday and then when the Eagles played Washington.
Nice.
So FedEx Field's not been friendly to him. But no, I mean, it was all over. And, you know, we talk on the offensive side of the ball about how it's like, well, if it's not AJ, it's Devontae. If it's not Devontae, it's Goddard. Like, you know, one of the, I guess, the benefits, if I really want to be super positive about this, is like when you don't have like a Bosa or like a, you know, a TJ Watt or whoever, right? Like Myles Garrett. There's really no one you like double team on this line, right? And so Reddick yesterday, a sack and a half. BG, a sack and a half. I think Cox had a sack and a half. I don't know if Sweat finished with a sack and a half, but he, I thought, got really good consistent pressure. So like if you're the Jaguars and you're game planning this week, it's like, I don't know. You know, like, seriously, like, I guess you would probably look if Fletcher's going to play like this. I mean, Fletcher was amazing. And the interior of the Washington offensive line is not that good. But Fletcher did what you're supposed to do against a really bad interior. And he completely wrecked the entire game. If Fletcher plays like that, like, this line is going to be top, you know, whatever in pass in like pressures. I don't know. Sacks is tough again because they get rid of the ball quick. But like, Fletcher Cox was unbelievable. Hassan Reddick got in there, and they finished him too, which was so high. It's easier against Carson when he just holds onto the ball. But when the pass rush is playing like that, then you go to the next level. Like, man, like their linebackers are so much better than they used to be.
T.J. Edwards is the best Eagles linebacker in a while.
Think about this.
Since Bradham in 2017.
When's the last time anybody brought up N'Kobe Dean?
Yeah, it's a great point.
You know, like, no one's calling for him.
No.
T.J. Edwards has been awesome. Kaiser White, clearly the
He's
best.
He's been very good, too.
Yeah, yeah, Kaiser White, best free agent signing they've had since Bradham. And, you know, as good as Bradham was, actually, I'm going to take that back. Like, Bradham was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But Kaiser White's been really good, too. So, yeah, I mean, the front seven of the defense is, like, super deep. I mean, Jordan Davis starts yesterday, bats a ball down very early on.
Had a sack later in the game.
Yeah, like, Milton Williams got hurt. But, like, you know, you can't really point. Patrick Johnson, I think, had a sack and almost got another one. He had that pressure on Carson, where I was pretty sure Carson wasn't going to get rid of it, mm-hmm. you know, when he was like rolling across. But yeah, they're incredibly deep. I mean, it's just when you look at, again, if you're the Jaguars and you're sitting down, you know, on Tuesday or whatever to start scouting, like, what's your plan? Like, do you try to just pray that the interior, you know, holds up? Like, I don't know. Like, you don't double Reddick, I don't think, yet, but he had the sack and a half. So, yeah, I mean, it was like exactly what you would have hoped for. And now over the last two games, the defense is giving up an average of just 6.5 points.
It's good math by you right
Thank
there.
Thank you. I had a stat ready when it was like they only had 2 points and the defense
wouldn't
had.
It be, wait, two game, wouldn't it be 7.5 points in two games?
It's either 6.5 or 7.5.
7.5, because it was 7-8. So it'd be 7.5. Right? 24-7.
Well, but they only gave up 6 yesterday.
No, they won 24-8 yesterday.
Yeah, but there was a safety.
Oh, you're right. So it is 6.5. My fault. Right. I forgot about the safety. No, okay. You're right. That's good. Hey,
it's
my
early.
Bad.
It's early.
Mea culpa. It's okay. On me. It's 7:42
Again,
in the morning.
You just have to remember when it comes to Gannon.
Oh, it's true. And you know, credit so far. You know, look, and for him, after that first week, he was, you know, enemy number one in this city and deservedly so in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
He's had two really good weeks.
He was why I thought him and the
players make him look better, but he's had two good weeks.
For sure. And so, yeah, I mean, the defense was just unbelievable. I really don't know what else to say.
Like, there's not much else to say. They were great. And look, Carson's Carson, and I at least with Fletch, it definitely felt like there's a little extra gear there.
For sure.
To go get that guy and Fletch right there with
you,
buddy.
Do you think the Fletcher thing, like, is just, you know, 1 week? Or do you think, like, he's going to be better this year?
Both, kind of. I think it was this week. I think there was an extra drive in the tank. But mm-hmm. I think he's going to be better than he's been the last couple years. Like, and yeah. I thought that we heard that. It was the first time in a while we've heard in training camp people talking, oh, Fletch looks good. Fletch looks ready. Fletch looks this and that. And, like, I think we've seen enough plays already from him where it's like, oh, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he'll be better.
Well, you know, and also it's pretty much a contract year for him.
That's
or is,
true.
Right?
A really
it's a
one-year
deal.
Yeah,
so,
I didn't think
you know,
about that.
He has that motivation going for him. They have a lot of people on defense that are really motivated this
yeah,
year.
When you look at 1 year, him,
and,
you know.
And the other thing is, you look at some of the teams around the league, like the Bucks yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. Like Aaron Rodgers, not yesterday, but through the first two games. One thing the Eagles have going for them is they got a lot of really motivated people. There's not a lot of people on that roster, and I think that was an issue they had from 2018 to 2020. Is a lot of players on that team, like Alshon, Deshaun, like Carson, to an extent, having already been paid, like. Fletcher was there. Like, a lot of guys that had kind of, you know, Zach Ertz. Like, players who had already kind of accomplished. And I think mm-hmm. this team is filled with guys that are, like, very hungry and need to prove something.
It's a great point. All right, let's Thank get you. To Jalen and the offense in general. Because we talked a bit about Jalen
I kind of
want to
do Carson first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
No problem.
Boom.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right.
Carson, do
so,
it.
So here's my Carson take.
Love it. I love this. Go.
Like, all right. You know that, like, 50 Cent, you won't know this, actually, but that 50 Cent gif where, like, he drives by and laughs and keeps going?
No.
Okay. So what yesterday reminded me of was, like, if, let's say you're driving a really nice car, right, and you pull over at some gas station, and you're, like, just in a fly car, you're looking great, like, everything's just, like, going great in your life, and you pull over and you see your ex, and she's, like, you know, he or she is filling up like a hoopty and it like, you know, looks like, you know, she's tired, like hungover or whatever. And that's what yesterday was like. It was like Howie and Jalen rolled through the gas station, saw Carson and was like, yo, like peace. Like, man, like, you know, I hope it's going well for you. Ha ha. And like just kept it moving. Like they rolled through FedEx yesterday. And if, like, for Carson, I honestly, like, it was like tragic. To watch. It was unbelievable to think that the person I saw as the quarterback of FedEx yesterday was the same person that in 2017 was viewed as one of the best Eagles players ever. I mean, honestly, think about how tragic of a downfall that is. Like, Carson's not a bad guy in all seriousness, right?
Yeah,
like, his career has just been completely
a precipitous
ruined.
Downfall, yeah.
And let's be honest, it started with the fact, and this is why I think Howie and Jalen deserve the victory lap. It started because he did not believe in Howie and he didn't want to be with Jalen.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, both those people came into the building. The roster Howie built was why they won the game. And Jalen completely, like, I mean, it's not even close. Like,
oh, man, it's way better.
I asked you this on the ride in, but, like, how many first round picks would Washington have to attach to Carson to say, okay, Howie, we'll give you X amount of first-round picks, but then we get Jalen, and you have to start
Carson.
Yeah, we
said three minimum.
Three minimum.
That, yeah.
But I honestly don't think he'd do it.
Yeah,
I don't think they have a chance to win the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, I wouldn't do it now.
There's no way.
You give me six first-round picks.
Super
Bowls are, we know, man. It's special.
Yeah.
It's like, if you have a chance, you freaking go for it. And that's why I talked about coming in the season, too, that I thought it was, I love what, and look, who knows, and now like the Jalen thing's a whole different you know, discussion with the contract and all that stuff, but like Howie knew that he had a year here where he had a quarterback that they felt good about at $1.5 million, and he said, I'm stacking this roster. He said, I have a one-year window right now, like just a unique thing, and Howie's always got windows because Howie's so good with this stuff. But in terms of like he saw right now, he's like, I have a chance to go out and add to this team in a major way and go for it this year.
And
right now, it's like an incredibly smart decision.
And like that's the difference between Jalen and Carson right now. Watching Carson yesterday, no team can win with him at quarterback.
No.
Like
yeah.
I know he had a good week one, and I was briefly like, oh, maybe he's
the new like fantasy quarterback numbers guy.
Yeah, but like
they're gonna be bad, and he's gonna put up 350 with four touchdowns in a loss. You know, it's gonna be those type of games.
Yep, 100%. But like watching him yesterday, he's just completely broken.
Yeah.
He's completely broken.
Yeah.
Like. He holds onto the ball too long. He can't make the throws. He really can't move. There was a
ball
play.
Ball security, still a problem.
Still a major problem.
Years later.
Like, dude, the play we talked about earlier with the defensive line, but like the play where he rolled out to his right and Patrick Johnson almost brought him down, I was surprised he threw it away.
Yeah,
like, I thought
too.
He was going to take like a 10-yard
sack. I thought he was
better
about that yesterday. Like,
yeah.
He even had like three or four plays where he like kind of got rid of the ball or whatever.
Yeah.
Or was able to like stay up just long enough to get rid. I'm so, like, it's. Like, there are, like, 10 plays a game that Carson makes where you're like, Jalen would never do that. Like, never. In a million years, Jalen would never make that.
100%. And there was a play in the fourth quarter, I think it was. So the game was already over at this point. But he started to run to the sideline. I think he got all the way down to the one or the two. There was so much space. Like,
I know.
Watching him run, I'm like, he has no chance. Yeah. Like, look, he's more athletic than, like, Foles is, you know, but, like, he's not up there among the athletic quarterbacks.
No.
He's like,
not,
he cannot move. And, you know, before the game, like, he's walking around. He's, like, real. You know, he's talking to a lot of players. Like, players were kind and nice to him.
Yeah, you saw the Howie hug online.
But the Howie hug was icy. Like,
was
watching it,
so
it live.
So you didn't
like,
see it on. Yeah, it was icy.
So Carson was, like, walking across the field. And I know, like, look, they can say whatever they want, and they haven't talked about it. There's no way I won't be convinced they immediately knew where each other was. Mm-hmm. Howie was like hanging on the sideline.
Yeah, it's like if you like
yeah, it's like you're at a
you're
party
in middle school
or, yeah,
and you
exactly.
go to the middle school dance, and there's the girl that you like, and you're dying to dance.
You know where she is at all times.
At all times, the whole night, you're like waiting to go ask her a dance, and you get
100%,
and you know where she is all night long.
Yeah,
like that.
I totally
agree with you.
So Howie was like lingering along the sideline, and then Carson comes out, and Howie like starts to make his way to midfield, like you know, just like he's talking to someone. But I guarantee you the whole time he's talking to that person, he's
like waiting,
looking out the eye. He's like, huh, yeah, that's awesome, man. And like looking. Yeah. So Carson like walks by, and I'm almost positive Howie did like the hey, because Carson like made a sharp turn to turn towards him.
That's great.
And after watching Carson talk to everybody before the game, he talked to Howie easily the least amount of time.
Wow.
Like the most they could have possibly said is like, hey, what's up, man? And like kept him moving. Like, I think that Carson is still mad at Howie. And I think Howie, rightfully so, is mad at Carson for putting him in that situation.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Carson, like, it's like we talked about kind of on Saturday, but injuries just wrecked this guy's career.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a broken player. Like, if Carson would take my advice, I would suggest he retires after this year. Just walk off into the sunset. Mm-hmm. Like, it's over, man. It's over for him. Like, that is the clearest takeaway. And, God, they're so much better off with Jalen.
It's unbelievable. Well, that's the thing that you can't help as you're watching the game, just thinking about the you know, gamut of emotions that we went through with the whole thing, with, you know, the falling apart and the drafting of Jalen and then the 2020 season and the benching and the trade and like the whole thing and just how upsetting it all was to go through.
Yeah.
And whether or not by the end, you know, we were both like, goodbye, Carson. Like, I can't believe they got that much for you. And like by the end we were there and stuff. But just think about that whole like, you know, precipitous slope to now where it's like, thank God. It's like, thank God we ended up on the side of things that we ended up on, because it is absolutely the better side.
Well, so I'll give a shout out to a real one here, but like Ja'Cory from Florida, right? So he tweeted, he's been a big Carson guy.
Mm-hmm.
He tweets yesterday like, all right, I'm out. Like, you know, you guys were right, like whatever. But I do think there was a lot of people. And look, we talked about it on Saturday, like rightfully so. He did play a role in them winning a Super Bowl.
No doubt.
And that's why I think that this morning, like nobody's going to feel bad for Carson. But I honestly think it was, like, sad to watch yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, his career is over, man.
Yep.
Like, and it was so—it had such high hopes at one point.
Yeah, again, we talked about this many times with Bazzi, but there were multiple times in 2017 where I'm like, we found our Tom Brady. Like,
yeah.
And I think that's part of why it's been so hard is that, like, when you emotionally and mentally and and all that, invest in someone like that to that level where you're like, this is our guy for the next 15 years. Like, this is the guy who is the face of our franchise, the face of our love of the franchise and all that. And then, like, in just a two-year span, it all falls apart and he's gone. And now a year later, he's playing for the other team. It looks hard. It is. It's a lot. It's a lot to take in emotionally and mentally.
And even just, like, you know, he's got, like, that pink coat on. Like, I don't know, man.
Well,
like,
the fashion sense has not gotten any better. Let's say that.
Again,
it's pretty amazing.
And I say this from the bottom of my heart. I wish someone would say to Carson, look, man, just wear a team, like...
Just wear, like, a white t-shirt and jeans, like, dude. Yeah, just look like a normal dude.
I respect the effort, but, like, it's just not working. Like, it's really just, like, his playing style. You know,
you're right.
It's like, look, man,
what
I respect you want to make something happen here, but you...
What a great comp.
You just
is.
Can't do
this
it.
This is such a good
like,
comp.
Like, I get that the pink blazer looks good on the rack.
The hats.
Just fall back, man. Like, it's just do you. And at this point, you is not anything special.
Yeah,
like,
it's clearly
not. As a person. I felt bad saying that.
No, but as a player, yes. Don't worry, yes. All right.
I doubt he's listening.
I don't know.
I don't, yeah.
He was such a big fan of yours.
He
back
was.
In the day.
Look, he unfollowed me when he went to Indy, so.
Right, yeah. It took that long.
Yeah.
All right.
Jalen?
Yeah, I mean.
Seems like a natural
segue. There's not too much to say, and this is a, you know, we want to get it up and get people to hear it and stuff, but. You know, again, I just think this guy deserves so much credit. I think this offense, like what this offense is doing, is so impressive right now. And we saw it again, like you said at the top. I think it's such an important point. Just the amount of different options this offense has the way to beat you. Whether it is, you know, the on the ground thing we knew coming in, they haven't even had to run the ball that much. But you know, Hurts still can, Miles still can, the O-line's still great. But I mean, just like AJ Brown. I mean, what a difference this guy has made.
I know.
Like, really, like, and just in terms of you see it, the way the offense runs, the difference he makes in terms of obviously opening things up for everyone else. But then, like, if you just really need a play, like, he's going to make it. He's going to catch it. He's going to find a way to get, like, just open enough to beat somebody. Like, he is such a game changer for this.
There was the 4th and 4 at the end of the game where they were going to win no matter what, but they were trying to kill clock. They throw it to AJ. Was his touchdown on 4th down?
His touchdown was on 4th down,
okay.
Too. Yeah,
yes.
Almost positive.
It was either 3rd or 4th.
It was either 3rd
so
or 4th.
So that was a big play there, right?
Yeah.
But actually, let me do a quick, Jalen, and maybe we should just move to the receivers and like wrap this up.
Yeah.
But like, I thought the most impressive play from Jalen yesterday was end of the first half, time's ticking down.
The touchdown throw to Devontae?
But in the touch, that was great. But like, so watching it live, like it was chaos. Like they knew they had to do something. Everyone's moving around. Jalen's just standing there, you know, right where he needs to be to catch the snap in the shotgun, directing guys. Just like, you know, all right, we're gonna do this. You go here, like doing hand motions. He called the play yesterday. I think it was Sirianni that said this. Either Sirianni or Devontae, that play was not in the playbook this week.
Wow.
That he just called it, right? And like I'm watching from the press box and I'm looking at the clock. I'm looking at them and I'm like, they're not gonna get this off.
Yeah, which is funny because I don't know if you know this, but on TV, the way the clock malfunctioned, we couldn't see a ticking clock on TV.
Wow.
It was stuck.
That really takes away from the drama.
Stuck at 18 seconds, and the announcer's even going like, clock's not moving. Like, they're rushing at the playoff, you know, and like we had no idea, and I assumed that Jalen knew because they were moving at a certain pace. So I was like, all right, he's got to know, but we're all sitting there like, is it what's happening?
I know.
It was like a wild moment watching the game.
And it was like that it's in the stadium too. But I mean, dude, this guy is his third game of a second year as a full-time starter. Third year in the NFL, to be fair, but the first year doesn't even matter at this point, really. He looked like a 10-year veteran back there. Like, I think that really encapsulates what Jalen was yesterday. Like, again, accuracy issues early on. The ball placement probably wasn't everything you wanted, but like never made the play to never took the bad sack, never turned the ball over, was once again pretty good on 3rd downs. I'll have to go back and look, but, you know, this play right here at the end of the half, all those things. I mean, he's like, you know, like, yeah, I would definitely take like Allen, Mahomes. You probably still have to take Herbert. Like, we can debate Burrow, but like.
He's up there.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, especially if you're talking about for the next decade or whatever.
You'll never be able to convince me the Eagles thought he'd be this good.
No, I don't think there's...
Not even like before the Detroit game.
There's no one in the NFL because he doesn't go 53rd in the draft. If anyone in the 100% NFL thinks that, he goes in the top 5 in that draft.
Yep.
So, and I think it's such a great point. And look, it's why, and I'm sure you've noticed this, but it's why I've during this like lead up, and again, I was higher on Jalen than most, but it's why I always keep pushing back on callers and people where they do the captain intangibles thing and kind of like mock it in a way. Because That's why I keep hammering on how freaking important this stuff is.
Yeah.
Like, this kid is not a 24-year-old kid playing quarterback. He is, to your point, he is in control, yeah. complete control of everything that's happening. It's like, oh, yeah, you know what? I know it's a cliche, but being a coach's son matters. Like, it does.
Yeah.
Thinking about the game the way he does, the obsession with the game that he has, the thinking everything through, the knowing every moment, like, all this stuff matters. Like, guys believing in him matters. Like, all this, that's why I've always said it with the quarterback position. Like, the above the shoulders, the leadership, like, all this stuff is such an important part of the pie. And it goes such a long way to winning games. And that's why, like, people, like, almost are like, well, we know he's good at the intangibles. It's like, yes!
Yeah.
That's not just a throwaway line. It's so important, and it's part of the reason why he worked so hard and all this stuff. And now we're seeing it play out. And for him, again, to be, he just turned 24, man, to have this kind of composure and poise out there is incredibly impressive.
And, like, we talked about Carson. I think the main lesson from Carson is, like, you got to capitalize when you have something special. And they have something special in Jalen right now.
Great point.
Never been injured. No baggage. He's playing unbelievable. The team loves him. I looked this up yesterday.
This was an amazing tweet. This is yeah. one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This was a great job. Because we've all talked about it, but we haven't, like, you put it into such perfect, yeah. easy terms.
So I like to picture you at home being like, look, Emily, I know how to screenshot something now. And just screenshotting.
I retweeted it.
You did, which is big team. For me.
Yeah.
So Carson Wentz in 2017, the first three games. First of all, 2-1 record. He was 62% of his passes, 816 yards, 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Jalen Hurts so far in 3 games. 3-0, 67%, so higher completion percentage. He has more passing yards, 916. 1 interception, so fewer interceptions. He has 7 total touchdowns, so more total touchdowns, but only 1 fewer passing touchdown.
And that interception
was
bounced
not
off
fault.
The guy's hands.
I honestly don't think he's thrown
he
one
fumbles,
interceptable
right?
pass.
No fumbles.
No
yet.
Fumbles. I mean, he's thrown one interceptable pass. I didn't look up fumbles for Carson. You're right, I should have.
Think about that.
So, like, again, to wrap that all up, he's been better in the first three games of 2017 than Carson was. I'm sorry, in 2022.
Yeah, yeah, no, the leap, because that's the leap we talked about. We're like, yeah.
He took the leap.
Yeah.
Now, like, can he sustain it? We'll
right.
see. But
and
like,
it's three games, and now, to your point, like you said, like, teams are going to have more tape on the passing game, and more,
yep.
you know, there are going to be adjustments made. That's why it's a long season. That's why it's a war of attrition. It's the injuries, but it's also the adjustments, the changes. We all know, like, a lot of times the best team in September and October isn't the best team in January.
Yeah.
So
the Eagles showed that last year. But
yeah.
like, honestly, man, before we get into the small specifics, I don't really think that stuff matters. Like, I think at this point, it's like this is the Eagles to blow. You know, like, mm-hmm. they are talented enough. They have it going. Like, could they beat Buffalo? Probably not. But like,
I mean,
I do not think that, like, a team is going to, like, I'm trying to think how to phrase this. I think if the Eagles lose a game to anybody in the NFC, it'll be because they lost it.
Yeah,
I guess is the best way for me to put it.
No,
like,
I get
yeah.
it. Look, I think that, again, after watching all those teams yesterday, and, you know, with, you know, the Eagles played and you get to watch all the other games, we didn't record yesterday, so we had extra time and all that. Like, again, is it possible that come the end of the season, Tampa Bay gets healthy, or the Rams figure out a running game, or this or that, or whatever, or the Packers put it together and
right.
you know, some Romeo Dubs really becomes a good receiver, or whatever. Like, there are things that can happen over the course of the season, but right now, there is not a single team in the NFC that looks as good as the Eagles.
Yeah.
I don't think
it's close.
Yeah. So.
This is probably a bad job by us. Like, Devontae.
That's why I was mentioning before. Best fatigue. I mean, so I wrote down 7 for 156 in a touchdown in the first half. Had 2, obviously, the touchdown, that contested catch there. I mean, for his size, the how big he looks when he goes up for the football
yeah.
and how, like, how much he dominates space for his size when he's in the air and at catch points is, like, it is almost shocking to see someone his size do what he does out there. Obviously, the catch that, you know, they didn't challenge in time, great job by the Eagles offense getting on the ball and going, but whether technically a catch or not, an unbelievable feat of athleticism and hand-eye coordination to even make it appear a catch. Devontae was... Well, again, you know, obviously a million people say it yesterday, but coming from the week one, the no catches, Devontae's going to get mad, to obviously a really nice week last week, and then the star of the day yesterday. It's nice. Nice to see. He's really good, man. He's really good.
It was one of those things, and sorry, I was paying my meter, so I wouldn't get a
no worries.
Ticket.
I appreciate
my
it.
I was listening.
I know.
I just felt bad. Didn't want you to. So it was one of those games where when eventually Devontae gets the number one type receiver contract, like, this will be why. Like, even if his numbers aren't that good, and I think they'll kind of, I don't think his numbers will be bad this year, but I think AJ, him, and Goddard,
options. It's like you said, they have options.
They'll kind of eat off each other in that way.
They're gonna run in short yardage, exactly, and all that stuff.
But like, when you make catches like Devontae did yesterday, that's why when he's eventually up for a contract, there'll be a team out there willing to pay him a ton of money.
That was big time player stuff.
Yep.
One, I feel bad because we were talking, I don't know if it was on the air or off, but recently we were like, oh, Jalen Waddle, that was clearly the right pick, added Devontae. And it probably still, like, Jalen Waddle's great.
Yeah.
But like, may have dismissed Devontae. Yeah, I mean, we dismissed Devontae a little.
Like, yeah. I mean, those catches were unbelievable. The touchdown catch was unbelievable. The one down the field was unbelievable. The one, and this is another good Jalen thing, where he was a sideline. He was probably out. I think it would have been close on a replay, but they hurried up and got it. But still an unbelievable catch, yeah.
Well, like, and to your point with Jalen, like, we've seen, and so much credit to Jalen, and maybe it's just because he trusts Devontae and AJ so much more than he has guys in the past, but he has been really willing to let them go up and get balls. I mean, especially with AJ, like, he has thrown into some incredibly tight coverage spots with this guy and just said, I trust you to make a play. And AJ's made the plays.
100%.
And Devontae yesterday is making the plays. But that is a big developmental thing for a younger quarterback that we have not seen really from Jalen up until this season, is him being willing to really trust guys and put it in tight spots and say, all right, go get it. And it's working out really well for this.
Look, there's going to be times where that backfires.
Of course.
And we'll just have to remember, you know. I have a few quick hitters. I don't know if you want to do yours. But so the 4th-and-1 play.
I thought it was a terrible play call.
All right. Here's why I was okay with it. So the play before, I think it was Washington calls a timeout. But first of all, they call it like right as it's being snapped. So their defensive linemen essentially like jump over the line and drill Jalen, which I thought was like kind of unfair. But it was so clear Washington was ready for the sneak. So I think that there's two ways to look at it. One is the thought process of, and I asked Sirianni about this, like, we know they're coming up the middle. We know they're charging the middle. If we go to the edge, like, in, if Pascal makes one person miss, like, you could potentially score
have a
there,
touchdown,
right?
Sure.
So I think the logic of it was fine. If you want to say, like, look, man, it's Jalen Hurts, he's going
to
get
just
it.
Just have Jalen run to the outside.
But it was also not 1 yard. It was kind of like a yard and a half.
I mean, so for full disclosure.
I remember correctly.
Full disclosure, I would have kicked the field goal there. I know it only would have made it 13 points, and it's not, like, that big a gap. But, like, I just felt like it was a really long yard, and I felt felt like you didn't need to go. It was still early enough in the game. Like, a little later, they just started pulling away. But it was still early enough where I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the points here. It's like a yard and a half. Like, so I didn't like the – I didn't kill him for it. It was fine that they went for it, but I would have kicked the field goal. But then going for it, like, I'm just not taking the ball out of Jalen's hands if I'm going for it on 4th-and-1 there,
well,
one way or another.
And I think that's fair. And, if you're going to run that play, like, maybe – you know, Pascal's not the one to do it with.
Sure.
But also, I think Pascal's look good in training camp and quicker. So I think it just reminds me in a sick way of, like, the Philly special where it's like, that play worked, so it's a great play call.
Sure.
You know, if it doesn't work, we're still talking about it. Can't believe Doug called that.
I always try and judge it on, as the play is unfolding, do I like what they're doing? Like, the couple, was it 2 weeks ago or whatever, the 4th-down call where they just had Jalen, like, run to the side and there was no pass option or anything. I hated that play call in the moment. As that man, I'm like, I hate this. I mean, I hate this right here. Like, in the moment when they handed a pass call and I saw the play developing, I was like, don't love it. Like, so, but you're right. Like, it was close to being, could have been a touchdown.
I thought the logic of it was good, but you probably talked me off of it a little bit. Like, just keep the ball in Jalen's
hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what else you got?
So, I looked this up before the game. So, yesterday was the third time they've called Covey up, right, from the practice squad. Next time they call him up, he goes through waivers, which means pretty much at this point, unless they think someone's going to claim him, like, they have to call him up or that's it.
Yep.
Covey makes around, I think, $290,000 this year. If you get a roster spot, you make over $700,000.
Wow.
It was a big day for Covey yesterday.
And he did not.
And he fumbled, man. Yeah. It was, so like.
And at least he recovered it and
stuff. He recovered it, but
and
like.
And he took the hit and was fine otherwise. He's like been, other than that fumble, he's been fine at catching it and not, you know, giving the ball back, which is honestly all we were asking for after Rager. But like, he has yet to do a single thing special, you know, yet to kind of break when he's fine.
I do think he looks like a little elusive when he gets
going. I do
too.
The coverage has been, or the blocking has been horrible.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like at no point has a punt returner called the ball and had even more than like 3 yards to move, you know, so.
So
that's part of it.
I think,
but I did think it was interesting. Obviously, Devontae went back for that one punt, which
for
makes
no
you
real
want,
reason
makes
and
you
I
wonder.
Hate
I,
that.
I hate it too. Like,
I hate
why?
That.
But it makes you wonder. Like, is this like maybe a test to see do they not want to bring Covey up and keep that roster spot, and then is Devontae going to be the guy? You
so
know?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, if they're at 52, Dillard's on IR. So if they were to bring, maybe they're saving it for Dillard. But Here would be my advice to Howie. I gave free advice to Carson. I'll give it to Howie too. Don't get cute with this.
Just bring him up. And
just look.
Have a dude. I agree with you.
I get that Covey is not like maybe like the electric player, you know, we like kind of thought.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, the fumble's bad for sure. And like if Rager did that, we'd be absolutely ripping him today. But
you got the ball back.
I think Covey overall has been good, just like right decisions. And I just wouldn't mess with that.
Well, let me add to this because I think it's a bigger point. And I think it's special teams in general. And I talked about the kickoffs last week and the Quez thing and how that could be something that teams could take advantage of kicking it short and get bad return. I talked about Tsitsipas, and I will again. You know, the guy stinks. He had one good punt at the end of the game, but like he's a bad punter, right? And this is the kind of thing where we're talking about Super Bowl now. Like that's where we're at. Like this team is
you're
a Super Bowl contender.
You're viewing it differently, right?
Right. And it's like these are the small little things on the margins that could end up winning you or losing you a massively important football game, right?
Yeah.
Like the little things like this. So like, I'm with you. Don't mess around with this. And also like address these things, you know, figure out who's going to be your kick returner, figure out who's going to be your punt returner and get a new punter in here and make this like every unit on the team worthwhile.
I honestly wonder if like they should look around and find some trash team that has a good punter and be like, we'll just give you like, you know, like a fifth or fourth round pick. Or,
and again, even so, like there are definitely guys out there, guys who got cut before the season, like stuff, who are a better punter than there is. I said this last time, I'll say it again. There's no way he's one of the 32 best punters on the planet. There just isn't.
Yeah. I honestly think I'd be a great punter. But also like, let me tell, here's the one caveat I'll say about the special teams. I agree with you. Like, yeah, I agree with you in every way. I still think a lot of special teams is like, do you have a good kicker? And I still think Jake Elliott, like you talk about
matters,
Super Bowl.
He's
like,
great.
Yeah. So
I feel very confident.
But yes, like to wrap this up completely, we started by talking about how like they're a Super Bowl contender legitimately. That means now we view their problems in a different light. Like, can they score in the second half matters a lot more now. Special teams, like it's winning at the margins. It's
totally.
Like the fourth and one call. Like if it's a playoff game, like what does Sirianni do, right?
Totally.
So there's new ways to view this team, but after 3 weeks, it's clear that like any big picture concern is just frankly not there.
Yeah. All right. We're going to get out of here so we can get this up for you. By the way, quick drop in. Shout out to the Carolina Panthers. That Saints draft pick. Not looking too bad right now.
Wait,
how about it? The Panthers beat the Saints. Saints are 1-2.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes. Okay.
The Eagles are 3-0. We're talking Super Bowl, and they have a team that's 1-2's first round pick.
It's
all right.
Insane.
Howie.
GM of the year, man.
Howie. Without a doubt. I mean, GM, like, what a year. What a year.
Last question.
Yes.
While you were watching Carson yesterday, were you just kept thinking about the Super Bowl? Were you just like, at least this guy won me a Super Bowl?
I did.
There we go.
I did.
All right.
I didn't get it. And then I thought about beating the crap out of him.
Yeah. Just checking.
I did. I still always will.
Okay.
I feel very strongly about that.
All right.
Mixed reaction on that one. All right. You got any final thoughts?
No.
Good. Me neither. We'll be back later in the week. Obviously, we'll look ahead to all of a sudden, like, game of the week. Eagles-Jacksonville, I looked at the schedule. The night games are good, like Sunday night, Monday night are good, but otherwise, I honestly think Eagles-Jacksonville is the game of the week.
Super Bowl preview?
Could be. Doug versus the Eagles, it's going to be a fun one. We'll get into it all coming this week. Obviously, Parks picks, all the good stuff coming up. So, birds are good, man.
Yeah.
Got a good football team. It's exciting. So, we'll be back. Go Birds. He's Elliot.